I want to wish all of you who are watching this a very happy new year. We're so grateful that you've tuned in with us here today. And if you have a Bible, I want to ask you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We're just going to be in a couple verses that I want to share with you briefly. But I don't know about you, but the older I get, I have these little moments where I look back over a year or an event and I ask myself, where has the time gone? What in the world happened to 2023? It seemed like we were just starting it. And here we are today celebrating the beginning of 2024. Well, today I have our two sons and their wives in our home. And honestly, it just seems like yesterday that they were little boys waking up in my house on a New Year's Day. But the truth is that time is rolling by at this just amazingly fast speed. And days are rolling by, years are rolling by. And it's just going at this remarkable pace. And in the midst of that, we're just all so busy. And yet here we are on this last day of 2023 with this wonderful opportunity just to pause and evaluate our lives, to kind of take inventory, to make sure that we're taking advantage of the time that God has given us here on this earth and that we're living our lives to the fullest, and that also that we're making the most out of this new year that God has put right in front of us. Well, in Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives us some words to consider that I think will really help us to accomplish the task here today. Ephesians chapter 5 says this, "Be very careful, verse 15, then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So I want to talk just briefly of how do we make the most out of this new year. Well, here's what Paul tells us. He says, first of all, he says, be careful how you live. Well, why do we need to do that? Why do we need to be careful how we live? Well, because our time on this earth is limited. We only get a certain amount of days to live this life. Psalm chapter 39, verse 4 says, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life." Psalm chapter 90, verse 10 says, "Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass." And then the Bible says, "And we fly away." And I know for some of you, 70 or 80 years sounds like a long time. In fact, I can remember when I thought that being over 40 was like ancient, and I just turned 58 this past August. It really is amazing how our perspective of time changes as we get older. The Apostle Paul tells us to live as the wise and not as the unwise. The Psalm tells us to number our days so that we'll develop a heart of wisdom. Many years ago, People Magazine published an article entitled "Dead Ahead," telling us about this new clock that keeps track of how much time you have left to live. It actually calculates an average lifespan of 75 years for men or 80 years for women. So you program your gender and your age into the clock, and then from then on out, it will tell you how much time you have left. And this clock sold for $99.95. That means that if I live to be 75 years old, I have 6,076 days to live. That's all I have, 6,076 days to live. Now, of course, none of us are promised another day to live. But if you do get to live to 75 or 80, those years that you have in front of you are counting down very rapidly. In other words, our time on earth is valuable because it's very limited. So Paul says this, he says, be careful how you live your days. And then he says this, as it relates to those days, he says, make the most of every opportunity. Why does he say that? Well, he gives us a reason. He says, because the days are evil. Jesus said in John chapter 10:10 that Satan is a robber and a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the things that he loves to steal from us is our time, because time is a precious commodity. I mean, think of the time that we wasted this past year. Forbes magazine recently published an article called "Seven Biggest Workplace Wasters and How to Handle Them." And they said that the number one workplace waster was unnecessary meetings. I don't know about you, my staff will tell you, I hate unnecessary meetings. Number two, multitasking. Number three, micromanaging employees. Number four, disorganization. Number five, irrelevant emails. Number six, lack of delegation. And then number seven, and I think many people can relate to this, online distractions. That's the workplace. Well, just think about how much time we also waste in our lives just doing stupid things, just doing even sinful things. And then how much time we spend feeling guilty about that sin or even that stupidity. And we worry about the consequences of the sins that we've committed. Some people live their whole lives trapped in this vicious cycle of sin and guilt and worry. Sin, guilt, and worry. And again, Satan is a thief and he's a robber. But it's not just the workplace time wasters or even the sin time wasters that make demands of our time. Sometimes even good things can make demands of our time. Jesus, as you know in the Bible, went to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and he sat down to teach, and Mary sitting at his feet, and she's just literally soaking up every word that Jesus has to say. And meanwhile, Martha is in the kitchen, and she's preparing dinner. And Luke tells us that Martha gets so upset because Mary's not in the kitchen, so she complains to Jesus. And in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, here's what she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. It will not be taken away from her." Now, was Martha committing a sin by fixing a meal in the kitchen? No, of course not. But here's the problem. She was so preoccupied by what she was doing in the kitchen that she didn't realize that God was actually sitting in her living room. See, oftentimes that's the same mistake that you and I make. We get so caught up in the here and now that we can miss out on eternal moments, those God moments that are happening in our lives, sometimes a lot of times that we don't even realize. And Paul tells us to make the most of those God moments. Richard Swenson, who's a medical doctor, wrote a book several years back in which he discussed one of the major problems of our time, which is anxiety and stress. And he called it the overload syndrome. And he says that people are just plain overloaded. He said, first of all, we're overloaded with commitments. Swenson says that we've overcommitted ourselves so much to take part in so many different things that soon we begin meeting ourselves coming in and going because we've overloaded ourselves in the area of commitments. There were several years ago that I was coaching both of my boys' ball teams, and Amy and I were so busy, literally running from field to field. And I, just in haste and literally being overloaded in my mind, grabbed the wrong jersey, and I was coaching Taylor's baseball team wearing a jersey that said Taylor's mom on the back of it. And people were just wearing me out over that. But it was in that moment that we were just literally thinking, we are so busy, we don't even know what clothes we're putting on. Swenson says, we're also overloaded with possessions. He says, our closets are full, our garages are overflowing, we've gone into debt to pay for all these things that we simply must have, and we worry ourselves to death thinking that someone will steal them. We're overloaded with possessions. Then he said, we have an overload with work. We get up early, we fight traffic, we stay late, we fly all over the place, missing valuable time with our families in order to pay for all of these possessions that we've accumulated. And then he says the fourth thing is we have an overload of information. He said that as a doctor, he must read over 220 articles a month just to keep up with all of the changes that go on in his possession. And then he talked about how just the internet has overloaded us with so much information that it's literally just robbing us of our joy and our peace and contentment. And there's just no way that we can possibly absorb it all. So we just feel overloaded with information. There's so many demands on our time. So many good things that need to be done, but there's just 8,760 hours in this year. And so again, time is one of our most precious commodities. So Paul says, be careful how you live. He says, also make the most of every opportunity. How can we be sure that we're just being careful in the way that we live, but that we're also making the most of every opportunity? Well, Paul says we need to understand what the Lord's will is. Look again at verse 17. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. For as long as I can remember, people have just been asking the age-old question, what is God's will for my life? What is God's plan for my life? What is my purpose? Back in 2002, Pastor Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, and I was actually looking up these stats today. It was a New York Times bestseller for over 90 weeks in a row. By 2020, this book had sold over 50 million copies in 85 languages. And here's why Rick Warren wrote the book, because people wanted to know why they're created. Why are we here? How do we discover our purpose in life? And how do I find God's will for my life? Well, today I want to give you just a couple suggestions that will hopefully help you to know what God's will is for your life, and really so that you can make the most of 2024. First of all, you just need to learn how to establish your priorities. Back in 2008, I decided that I would just create some values for my life. And what I said is that these would be gauges by which I would evaluate how I'm doing, how I'm making the most of my days and my weeks and my months and even my years. Well, in order to remember them, I decided that they would all start with H. And the first H was just hunger. Do I hunger for the things of God? The second one was holiness. Am I setting myself apart for God's purpose? The third was home. Is my marriage and my family my priority, my first priority over my work? The next one was humility. What is the condition of my heart? Am I making much of Jesus, or am I making things more about me? And then healthiness. How am I doing physically, spiritually, and even emotionally? And then the other one, the last one, was just happiness. Where do I find my joy and my peace and in my contentment? Is it in my career? Is it in my accomplishments, or even my family? Or is my happiness and my joy and my contentment truly rooted in Jesus, who I am in Christ? Those are my priorities. Those are my values. Those are my gauges. Sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I will look at those things and I'll just make little adjustments and go, you know what? I think I need a little dial in a little bit more home, or dial in a maybe even a little bit more, you know, as it relates to healthiness. But I want to encourage you to create your own. You can use mine if you want to, but I want to encourage you to create your own. We need to establish some priorities for our lives, and then we need to have a plan to carry those things out. And then I want to encourage you also, number two, learn how to live for today. The two greatest enemies of time are regrets for things that we did in the past and anxiety about what will happen to us in the future. And many of us will either live in the past or we'll try to live in the future. In fact, many of us are engaged in this little game of I wish it were. Like, I wish it were next week, or I wish it were next month, or I wish it were next year. Christian author Gary Freeman tells about a girl who went to college and she hated it. But she told herself, if I can ever get out of college and just get married and have children, I know I will finally be able to enjoy my life. So she stuck with it. She went to classes every day, finally graduated from college. Then she got married, had children, and discovered that children are a lot of work. And so she told herself, if I can just get these kids raised, then I'll be able to relax and really enjoy life. But about the time the kids were entering high school, her husband said, guess what? We don't have enough money to send our kids to college. I guess you're going to have to get a job. Well, she didn't want to do that, but she knew it was the right thing to do, and they needed the money, so she went to work. And she hated it. But she told herself, if I can just get these kids out of college, get all the bills paid, then I could quit work, and then I can really enjoy my life. Finally, the last child graduated from college. All the bills were paid. And she walked into her employer's office and she said, guess what? I'm done. I quit. And he said, oh, you don't want to quit now. If you just stay with us another 8 years, you'll have a pension for the rest of your life. And she thought, well, I don't really want to work another 8 years, but there's all that money there and I really can't turn down the opportunity. So what she did is she worked another 8 years. And finally, she and her husband retired at the same time. They sold their home and bought a little retirement cottage, and they sat down on the swing on their front porch and they looked at the family picture album and they dreamed about the good old days. When I read that, I think that's really a sad story, isn't it? But that's how so many people are living their lives right now, waiting for the next thing to happen, thinking that they will finally find happiness. We need to learn how to redeem the time, to enjoy the moment, to live for today, and occasionally just stop and smell the roses. Just slow down for a little bit and just enjoy where God has us at this very moment. So here's what Paul says. He says, make the most of the time that you have. Make the most of this new year. How do you do that? Well, be careful how you live, and then make the most out of every opportunity, and then learn God's will for your life. Let me close with this little saying that I read a while back from a pastor out of Texas. He said this: during the new year, may you have enough happiness to keep you sweet, enough trials to keep you strong, enough sorrow to keep you human, enough hope to keep you happy, enough failure to keep you humble, enough success to keep you eager, enough friends to give you comfort, enough wealth to meet your needs, enough enthusiasm to make you look forward to tomorrow, and enough determination to make each day better than the day before. And I would say, Lord, please help us to use the 8,760 hours of this upcoming new year the wisest way we can for you and for your glory. Lord, help us to take the rest of the days of our lives and to make the most of those days. Well, tomorrow we start a brand new year, and I hope that you will enjoy that day, enjoy this time with your family. I hope that we'll see you back here at Westridge Church live or in person on January 7th. Let me close us with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for all the things that you've done in 2023. Lord, you have accomplished so much in our lives. You've accomplished so much through this church. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that we get a chance to be part of what you're doing in your kingdom all over this world. And we thank you, Lord, for just all of the lessons that we've learned in 2023, the good ones and the hard ones. And we look forward with great anticipation, Lord, to what you're going to do in 2024. Father, I pray that if there's anybody watching this right now that has never truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that, Lord, that maybe they would just come to a place in their life, even at this very moment, of humbling their heart before you and confessing sin, Lord, the sin of unbelief, Lord, and just by confessing with their lips that you are the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that you are the one who came to die for our sins, and that by placing our faith and our trust in you alone for our salvation, Lord, that we can truly know you personally. Lord, we can have a right relationship with God, and that we can have an eternity in heaven. And so, Lord, I pray that anybody that's watching that today, that they would make that decision and that they would reach out to us and let us know that they've made that decision. So, Father, grateful for this online time, for the worship moment that we had, Lord, and just for this time that we've had to learn from your word. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Westridge Church, thank you for all of your faithfulness and commitment in 2023. Can't wait to see you in 2024. You are loved.